welcome back to another episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. This is Talks About Tech Weekly episode 105 today, recorded on Saturday, the 21st of June, 2014. You are very welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Michael McAndrew, and as always, I am joined by Mr. Kevin McAndrew in the studio. I'm not going to ask, how are you? Yes, I am. How are you, Kevin, today? How are you doing?
I am ecstatic.
Ecstatic. You just keep coming up. You come up with a different word every day that we do this show. That's going to be like your signature. Kevin's going to come up with a different word. The word of the day for Kevin today is ecstatic.
Okay.
It's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? It was pretty rubbish earlier on, but all the clouds are gone away. It's blue skies. It's beautiful weather.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And it's episode 105. It doesn't feel like 5 weeks ago when we did episode 100, does it?
Really?
That was when we did episode 5 weeks ago. So when we did episode 105. It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
Time has really flown. Over a month. But we got some interesting stuff to talk about. Last week was basically dedicated to E3. So we didn't really talk too much about anything else. At all, in fact. So we're going to talk about some interesting new stuff. A huge story this week with the Amazon event. But we'll cover that a little bit later on in the show. Let's kick it off. No pun intended, or maybe yes, pun intended. Let's kick it off with the World Cup 2014. Have you been following the World Cup, Kevin? A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Not religiously.
Not religiously, like some people.
Yeah, I've been following it.
Yeah, not really massively like, into it.
I wouldn't be watching any of the smaller games like, I don't know. What games? Nigeria versus Iran or something
like
that.
That was a great game. It was a 0-0.
Yeah. I've been watching the kind of bigger games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the same with me. I probably have watched more of the bigger games than you, though.
Yeah. Highlights.
I'm not particularly big soccer fan or anything. This time around, though, you know, it's the World Cup. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just watching the Argentina versus Iran match there. Messi saves them into extra time. It was great.
Yeah, but anyway, first minute of extra time.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about some of the technology behind the World Cup 2014. There's a lot of controversy going on, especially into the lead up of the World Cup. Started off with the location with Brazil. You probably know a little bit more about this than I do, Kevin. You'll probably be able to shed some light on it. Basically, I'm just relaying what you told me. Do you want to explain exactly what was going on? Well, I suppose, first of all, there was the fact that, you know, Brazil, it's a second world country.
It's developing at the moment.
It's developing. There's a lot of islands.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of question asked about, you know, are the Brazilians going to be able to kick it off and, you know, actually do a successful World Cup, you know? There's a lot of drug gangs, all that stuff is going on. So is it possible for Brazil to actually to pull it off, you know?
Like there a lot of the tax money that Brazil were bringing in went towards the World Cup. And you'd think that probably one of the biggest countries in soccer, which is Brazil, you'd think they'd be delighted to be hosting the World Cup. However, there was actually a lot of public unrest. There were a lot of riots and things and people protesting against the World Cup coming to Brazil. And a lot of that was because the people there literally just weren't able to pay paid the taxes for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Now, like, even then, you know, you'd think, well, you know, all these stadiums are being put in. But if you actually kind of look at it, in recent months, it's been revealed that the stadiums are going to be privatized. So they're only going to be really used for the World Cup matches. And then after that, the public won't be able to use them for training or right. anything like that.
Right.
So it's kind of, it's very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very controversial.
Controversial, yes.
Yeah. And it's
big
it's,
word.
It's definitely been blown up a lot by the media, and it's kind of like the what happened over in Russia, except
yeah.
Oops.
It's your computer's of, making noises.
Yeah, but it's kind of like what happened over in Russia, except this time it's the World Cup, and it's an absolutely huge event for soccer. And there are a lot of sponsors involved and things, so...
There's a lot being said about FIFA.
Yeah.
Definitely is. That they're very corrupt, so... but in terms of technology, some very interesting stuff is very interesting technologies are being mm-hmm. used in this World Cup. Especially the fact that they're recording every single game and all the major events in 4K. They've got all 4K cameras set up around... the stadiums for recording all of the games, and
yeah.
It's pretty cool technology. 4K is really, really getting there. We're seeing more and more 4K stuff. YouTube is supporting 4K as it has for a while, good while. Netflix 4K. You can watch shows like House of Cards now in 4K.
Mm.
You know, they're releasing lots and lots of content. Personally, here here you can't watch a 4K video, really, without it loading. It was like the problem we mm-hmm. had with HD a few years back, you know?
Yeah.
And I will be probably having a discussion later on in the show about the internet here. And yeah, we'll have that discussion later in the show. But 4K, really cool stuff. We haven't got any 4K equipment here in the house yet.
Yeah,
we seem to be kind of late adopters into all that stuff. We don't have a smart TV or anything like that. Our TV is, yeah, I mean, it's a 42-inch TV, but it's...
Yeah, we don't really see the need for a smart
yeah,
TV.
Yeah, you see, we don't really watch that much TV. Any TV we
or
do watch...
Or a 3D TV.
It's not worth
thing of the
it's
past,
not
right?
worth it for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, we watch a bit of Netflix, but we can just use the Xbox 360. We use what we have.
Yeah.
You know, it's not worth extra investment for us. So we don't have 4K. Like, we were really late adopters into HD TVs.
Yeah.
Like, everybody had a flat screen, and we were still on our old... Rocking the old CRTs.
I think what's even crazier, though, is that, like, we can't even get HD TV anymore. We can't get it because you have to pay, like...
Yeah, I mean, we
20
can.
Euro a month extra.
No, we can get the HD channels. We can get a HD box,
yeah.
But it means that the current setup that we have probably won't work because yeah. we're running. It's quite complicated. Our Skybox is not next to our TV. Our Skybox is upstairs where the satellite connection comes in, and then from our Skybox we run an extremely long analog cable down to our living room, which basically degrades the entire signal. So our signal looks terrible in comparison to if you were running a short cable straight out of the Skybox. It's all fuzzy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter to us because we don't really watch that much TV anyway. It looks decent. But if we put a HD box in there, it would actually make worse work for us because we'd have to run a new cable, which we can't do.
Yeah.
We can't really do that anymore because the house is, you know, fully built. You know, we can't just run a new cable. Unless, well, technically you could. It's very difficult to do. Or you can still use your normal analog cable, which doesn't support HD connections, and use a converter, a HDMI converter, which it's just not worth it for us.
Yeah.
So we're not going to bother. If we want HD, we'll go on Netflix. I think... Yeah. Sky, we still do have Sky. That's just basically for just getting the TV channels. I literally watch one TV show in the week, and that's NCIS on Fox. That's literally what we have Sky for. We have it for RTE, Fox, Discovery Channel.
That's pretty much
that's it.
Yeah. I don't, I,
the odd 3D, time we might use BBC or something.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't really watched any TV in the last, I don't know, in the last 4 months. I've barely watched any TV. I'd say yeah. I sat down to watch it a few times. And I don't really sit down to watch a specific show or anything. I just, you know, sit down and watch TV.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, I've been watching a lot more TV now that the World Cup has come along. Sorry.
Yeah.
But something that I find very interesting is how the TV experience has changed so much. Watching live TV, I'm talking about. When we were watching the Eurovision, for example.
Oh, yeah.
We went up on Twitter and we were like reading out all these tweets about stuff that was going on in the Eurovision. And, you know, it's like a way more social, interactive, live experience if you go on Twitter while you're watching some big show. I think it's really cool. And watching the World Cup, I've been using the official FIFA app. You can download it for iOS, Android, whatever you device you have. I'm sure it's on Windows Phone as well. I've been using the official FIFA app, which has, it's not just World Cup stuff, but they have a whole World Cup section. It basically gives you all the stats about the teams that are in the World Cup. So it'll tell you what matches on live, like Germany versus Ghana is on now. 25th minute, it's 0-0 is the score. It'll tell you any upcoming news. So it's talking about highlights from the Argentina match. It'll give you a list of all the teams in the World Cup, the standings, so all the groups, who's in which place in the groups and whatever. So I can see in Group A, Brazil's on top, followed by Mexico. Different awards, you know, all this different stuff. And then... yeah. You can also see teams' rankings, FIFA rankings and all that. And then Twitter, all of through the World Cup, they have a little pop-up on Twitter that's basically saying this, you know, keep up to date with World Cup stuff now, and it'll show you all the tweets to do with the World Cup.
Yeah.
So it's I'd be watching a match, and I can just go on Twitter and I can find out what people are thinking about the match.
Yeah.
I can put up my own opinions about the match if I wish. Or I can just relax and look at what everybody else is saying.
Yeah.
I don't have to make it my own input. Very, very cool way of content.
And they also have MVP awards and things where you can actually vote for whatever player that you want. And it's actually the people, like people online who vote.
I did it.
During the Argentina match. Yeah. Versus Iran match.
I vote for my man of the match. Yeah. Which was Messi, of course. He scored the goal.
Yeah.
He always gets the credit. Great goal, though. It was amazing.
Yeah.
He curved that ball around the defender.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So that's a little bit about the World Cup. Let's talk about Amazon. You know, we're going to give the facts about this one. Kevin has opinions. You know, I'm going to act as mediator for this.
All right.
I'm going to act as a neutral, I'm not an opinionated person in this, and you can be the opinionated person, okay?
All right.
And I'll try and defend Amazon in this because I know where you're going. So let me just introduce this. This Wednesday, Amazon announced, of course, the Amazon Fire phone. So, you know, this phone has actually been rumored for years. I remember years ago they were talking about, will Amazon do a phone? And it was just pure rumor, really. It wasn't, there was nothing concrete there. They must have been working on a phone back then. Or at least a few concepts, and maybe they decided not to release it. But they've actually come out this year, this Wednesday, with their first attempt of a phone. And it is a vastly different approach to a lot of the current smartphones out there. Yeah. And what it's basically coming down to now is ecosystems. Companies are basically trying to create their own ecosystems, their own whole group of devices. And they want to sell you into their ecosystem, where when you buy one device, they say, well, if you buy this device, it'll also work with this whatever device you have already. So an example of this is Apple, perfect example. I've got a Mac. I've got two Macs. I've got a Mac desktop. I've got a Mac laptop. I've got an iPad. I've got an iPad mini. By the way, I just took my old 10-inch iPad out because I've been using the iPad mini Retina for a long time, since earlier on this year when I got it. This iPad is massive.
Huge.
It's huge in comparison to the mini. I took it out. I was like, it's really heavy. Like, it's massive. But what really strikes me is the bezel on this thing. It's flipping massive. It's like, huge.
We thought it was thin at the time. Now we think it's
It is very thin,
but it's not as thin as the new ones.
And the bezel is massive, you know.
Yeah.
I think that the iPad mini is a much better form factor now that I've been using the mini.
Mm.
It's so much better. And the other thing is the screen on the mini is amazing because it's the Retina.
Oh yeah.
It's amazing. But I've got two iPads, my iPhone, my Mac, but two Macs. I got my Mac laptop. I got my Mac desktop. I've got no MacBook, which I don't really use. I got a Mac mini. I've got a lot of Macs. I got a lot of Apple stuff.
Yeah.
And so I've basically bought completely into the Apple ecosystem now. I will completely admit. Now, if Apple does something that I don't like, I'm not a fanboy. I won't defend Apple. Right?
Yeah.
But Apple, to me, Apple provides such a great experience. I just bought into all of their stuff.
Mm.
Like it just works a lot of the so stuff, well together.
Like when if you have the iPhone 5, when the iPhone 5S came out, you said, you know, I'm not going to get it because there's no point.
It would
point.
Be a complete waste of money for me.
Because it's pretty much the iPhone 5 with a few nice features in it, but it's not a huge update and I don't need it. So you're not like a complete fanboy who goes out and buys like literally anything that Apple comes out with.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. But that's what Apple want me to do.
Yeah.
And they're trying to buy me into their ecosystem. They've done a great job so far. Hopefully with their iPhone 6, they'll keep me in the loop.
What do you mean, hopefully?
You see, it depends on what they do with the iPhone 6.
Yeah.
I still don't see Android as a competitor. I'm just going to go off on a tangent here. I know we're talking about Amazon, but I'm just going to say that in terms of Android, Android is a great operating system. Absolutely has its purpose. For me, I kind of feel like when I'm buying a phone nowadays, I'm going to buy a phone that is going to last me for 2 years, as my iPhone 5 has. I haven't I used to buy new phones all the time, like every 4 to 6 months, I was buying a new phone.
Mm-hmm.
It got ridiculous. And I decided that no way am I doing that. So what I decided to do in my wisdom was just buy one phone. I just bought the iPhone 5 and see how long it'll last me. So that's what I've done. And my iPhone 5 is still running flawlessly. There is not one thing that I need to upgrade my iPhone 5. I don't want that security thing with the 5S. It's super fast still on iOS 7.
Yeah.
There is literally nothing I want. Now, if the iPhone 6 comes out, it needs to be more than just a bigger screen. Bigger screen is a good start in the right direction. I don't particularly like huge phones. I think the iPhone 5 is actually a really good size. A lot of people think Apple are extremely outdated with that phone size. I really like that size.
Yeah, because you don't want a big,
you don't want
too
a,
big
I don't
phone
want a
either.
Big phone. Like even your phone, what's your phone? 4.6 inch?
I think so, yeah. It's something like that.
Yeah.
It's 4.5 or something.
It's big for me.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Well, the thing about my phone is that the bezel on it is tiny.
It's right.
On the edges.
Yeah.
So it's big enough. I like the form factor of my phone.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's not too big,
though. It's not as big as like the Note.
Yeah,
you know.
I actually know a few people who have those phones. I couldn't see myself having that phone. It just, you know.
Yeah.
If you were to make a phone call for an hour, as Marty Cooper said, the battery lasted for 20 minutes on the older phones, but you couldn't hold it up for that long because they're so big. And we're kind of reverting back to huge phones, except the battery is way longer. But
yeah. Because I remember when the Nokias were out, like, the smaller the phone, the better. I mean, I had a bulky phone, and then I saw the small little Nokia coming out, and I was like, whoa. It's so small. That's so good.
Now it's
completely the opposite way.
It's kind of being light, big, and but really, really thin as well.
Yeah. So Amazon decided to hit it right smack in the middle in terms of screen size.
Yeah.
Kind of Goldilocks territory here.
Around the size
of
my phone.
Not too small, not too big. They went with the 4.7-inch display, which is an extremely popular size.
Yeah.
Samsung, you know, with the Galaxy S5, they've gone 5-inch. The Galaxy Note's just going way out of...
That can't be classed as a phone.
It can't. No, it's a phablet.
Yeah.
Though I don't particularly like the term phablet. Amazon decided... Let me give you a specs rundown of this Amazon Fire phone. 4.7-inch display, right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Good size display. Solid. 720p display. Solid. You know, I think having a 1080p display on a phone, while it's going to look great, you kind of get a little bit ridiculous once you go past a certain... I mean, on a screen that small, 720p will do you no problem, and it'll save you a lot of battery life.
Yeah.
Because a 1080p display, it's double the pixels.
Yeah.
You know? So that's going to make a big difference.
Mm.
So, 13 megapixel camera, and it's also going to run Fire OS, which is basically a custom version of Android. We've seen this, Amazon have done this many times in the past with the Kindle Fire devices. They have their own custom version of Android.
But it isn't like Android whatsoever, because it's completely
different. The only part of Android that Amazon are using is the actual functionality, the behind-the-scenes stuff, the main features, APIs, all that stuff. Behind the scenes, it's Android 4.4.
But the UI, though,
is completely different. Absolutely. It's like Fire OS. They're not even using the Android Marketplace, or the Google Play Store, which... You know, you're going to express your opinions later on in this. What your opinion is? They do have the Amazon App Store, which is available on iOS and Android. It's like a separate App Store. Interesting direction for Amazon. I think that the Amazon CEO really does know where he's going with this. But it's running a custom Fire OS. Let me give you a rundown through the features, and then I'll ask for Kevin's opinion.
There's one more thing I want to add in as well.
Yes.
The design of the phone has Amazon written on the back. It has front-facing and backward-facing camera. And it also has front-facing cameras in each of the four corners.
Yeah, I was just going to get to that.
So, yeah, you'll get to that.
Yeah, so this is called... It also
has a glass front and a glass back, both Gorilla Glass.
Okay, yeah. It looks quite nice, I must say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
So it basically, as you were saying, Kevin, a camera in each corner of the phone on the front. And what this is used for is basically what Amazon are calling dynamic perspective. Everyone thought this was going to be a 3G or 3D phone.
Yeah.
Where it's going to use these cameras to provide some kind of a 3D effect. While it's kind of like 3D, but a lot of people are describing it as a less gimmicky 3D. Basically, the way it works is it has a camera on each corner of the phone, and it tracks your head as you move your head. It can track that. So,
or
as you view the phone.
Or as you move the phone. in relation to your head.
In the relation to your head, either way, right? So basically the way that you can use this feature is some apps have it enabled to provide like some kind of a 3D effect where you can like peer around corners like you can do with real 3D objects.
Yeah.
So it basically provides a 3D effect. And it's a little bit better than what Apple have been able to do with iOS 7. That's accelerometer based, you know, where when you have your wallpaper and you can kind of...
It doesn't actually track your head, but...
No, it doesn't.
It does look pretty cool.
It's accelerometer based, whereas this is actually motion tracking your head. So as you move your head, it's going to provide that thing. So yeah. That's an interesting feature. Something that definitely has not been done on a phone before. Firefly is the other big feature of this phone to, you know, you've got your Fire OS, Dynamic Perspective, and Firefly is the other thing that really differentiates this phone. It's basically a way that you can scan and identify products by pointing the camera at it. So very similar to Google Goggles,
yeah,
which I've experimented with before, where it'll identify stuff for you.
But the thing about Google Goggles that I found is it doesn't identify everything. It just identifies like certain books, and sometimes it's a bit flaky when it's working. But it was just a kind of a test.
Yeah,
but with Firefly, apparently it's supposed to be very, mm-hmm. very, very good.
Yeah. So, of course, once you scan the item, then you have the ability to buy it on Amazon. So you can compare the price of the item in the shop and the Amazon price. And it'll say, you know, you buy this with Prime, you get it the next day.
Yeah.
You know, but delivery, like whatever.
I think you can actually, it comes up with different options for other third-party apps.
Oh, yeah, sure.
As well.
Sure, it does, yeah.
So it's not just going Amazon.
Yeah. You can get information about the product.
Yeah.
You can set up, if it's music, you can set up a whole radio station based on the genre of that music. Pretty cool stuff.
And it has its own dedicated
button. You know, but obviously, the whole point of this phone, everything on this phone is branded with Amazon branding. Like every part of this phone is designed so that you buy into Amazon services. So all the music uses Amazon streaming service. Movies is provided by Amazon Prime. Movies, all of your shopping is going to be done by Amazon. So everything, everywhere you go on this phone, Amazon are going to be trying to get you to buy into their services and their quote unquote ecosystem. So that's basically what Amazon are trying to do with this phone. Let me give you the price. $650 if you want to buy it unlocked. You can't get it over here yet in Ireland. There's no release schedule or anything. I think it's about a month away, a month's time. You can pre-order it now, but it will come in a month. If you're in the US or whatever, I mean, I'm sure you could get it to Ireland, but shipping and duty and everything is just ridiculous. So you can't really do that. If you even wanted to get it, $650 unlocked, $199 on contract, which is, you know, a standard price for a high-end phone in the US. Kevin, what do you think of the Amazon Fire Phone?
I'm going to start out with, I think this is a good phone. It's not a bad phone in any way.
Yeah.
Like, it has really good specs, things like that. But there are a few things about it that I don't like. And I definitely will not be getting this phone. So I'll start out with the dynamic perspective, because that is pretty much the biggest selling point to this phone.
Well,
no, but like,
Amazon are trying to... They're trying to sell the phone on this feature.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the feature, because mm-hmm. it's not in any other phone that you've ever seen before.
Yep.
Like, there's literally no other way that any other phone can do what Amazon are doing with their phone, because they have the four cameras.
Yep.
So, first of all, it kind of looks a bit strange having four cameras on in each
Absolutely.
Of the corners.
Absolutely, that's what I was thinking. It looks a little bit weird.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a normal phone because it has those four cameras. But like, I'm sure it might be a little bit gimmicky if you cover some of those cameras with your hands or something when you're holding it.
Oh yeah.
If something like that happens, or you know, apparently it's supposed to be pretty good, better than 3D, you know, 3D phones. But so it's all well and good, you know, it works pretty well, things like that. But I honestly do not see where the applications for this are going to benefit you in a significant way.
Right.
Like, you can use it in certain apps, in games you can use it, you know, look around levels and things like that. Like, you can use it for scrolling and navigating menus and things. But a lot of the reviews and people who've used it have said that it kind of feels a bit unnecessary.
Mm.
Like, if you want to scroll down, you just tilt the phone. Mm. Well, you can just, you know, you can use an accelerometer for that. You can, you know, it doesn't really, it's not necessary to have dynamic perspective to scroll and things like that. And plus, you can just use the touch screen to swipe through it. You can select how fast you want to go through it with a bit more control and things like that.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
yeah, my opinion on dynamic perspective is, you know, it is a very cool feature.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of feel like Samsung have tried they've tried this stuff before with they've introduced this with the Galaxy S4 and Galaxy S5, where basically you can tilt the phone to scroll. You can use different phone, you know,
gestures
and like swipes and stuff with your phone, just like flicks of the phone
to
control different things. And personally, I think it's so much easier and so much more straightforward and logical.
Yeah,
to use your hand.
Like, it's like, very cool.
Sure.
Like, it's a very cool feature, but
it makes more sense.
Yeah.
It makes more sense to me to just use my hand, right? Now, there are certain situations where you might need to use this in such, like, when you can't use two hands. You can't use one hand to hold the phone and the other hand to use the phone. Use the touchscreen. You can use your one hand to do these gestures or whatever. I kind of feel like those situations, I've never been in one of those situations before.
Yeah.
The other thing about dynamic perspective is its usefulness. You know, it makes apps, certain apps that have this enabled, look really nice. But it's not really anything that I would, it doesn't add any practical functionality to a phone. Yeah. I'm all about practical functionality. I think that the more practical features are you know, really useful features, they're the ones I like. And I do appreciate good design as well, but just seems like unnecessary for me. And it does add a lot to the price of the phone. Let's move on to, that's my opinion anyway on it.
Yeah, so.
Do you want to say something?
Pretty much after dynamic perspective, it's pretty much like any other phone. Like, there's a couple of things with the hardware. Sure. Like, there's a specific button for Firefly. So you press the button on the
very
phone.
Cool.
Like, then again, you can just go into the phone and launch an app. But there's a specific phone or button, I mean, on the side or whatever. But pretty much after that, it's very nice, good specs. And then it runs a custom version of Android called FireOS. So FireOS looks very nice. It's, you know, it's practical. Like, it's not identical to Android and iOS or Windows phone or anything like that. It's its own operating system, if you know what I mean. It's its own UI. And it's very original.
Mm.
And it's nice. It's not like it's a bad OS.
Yep.
It's, you know, it looks nice and everything. However, one of the biggest things is, even though it is based on Android, and it is an Android skin pretty much, it doesn't have the Android Google Play Store.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so
that's the biggest selling point of Android, is the store.
Now, it's not like they're just bringing out a new store. The Amazon store has been around for a while.
It is well established.
Huh?
It is well established.
Yeah. Like, it's been around for a while because their tablets.
Yeah.
There's lots of apps for that on it and things. Yeah. But at the same time, it's not as big as the other, other stores. Yeah. So that's a big drawback to it, I feel. And like Firefly then, again, it's just a piece of software. So it's not anything specific to that phone.
Yeah.
Instead of making the phone, they could have just made a Firefly app, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually customer support straight on the actual phone as well. I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, that as well, you can just put all that stuff into one app, and you can put it on any device, so you don't actually need an Amazon phone for that. So I think that a lot of the features are very cool, but there's not really any need for Amazon to have a phone. Like, all those features are cool, but you have to remember, it's a phone, so it still has to make phone calls and things like that. That's its main purpose. That's for that's the reason why it's called a phone. You know, so all these really cool things as well, along with the phone, although they're cool, you still have to have the basics right. Like, it doesn't have it doesn't have the Android App Store, which could be way better if it had it, because the Amazon App Store definitely is not as established as the Android
and
App Store.
And that's the thing that really would prevent me from using this as an everyday phone.
Yeah.
Is the fact that it doesn't have basically the best feature of Android, which is the store and all of the apps. All of the apps on the Amazon App Store are designed specifically for the Kindle, Fire and the Fire OS devices.
Yeah.
Because it's a completely different skin of Android. Now, another thing Amazon could have done is they could have put it out as a skin or a custom ROM for Android or whatever they wanted as well. Interesting that they went with the phone. I kind of understand why Amazon were thinking of doing this. Because they have their tablets, such as the Kindle Fire. They have the Fire 10-inch version, you know, they've loads of different versions of the Kindle Fire. So they have those devices there already. However, if this phone was $300 or $300 or less unlocked.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, bargain. But and that's what has sold the Kindle Fires in the past as a very popular tablet, is the price point.
Yeah.
Amazon were, in fact, making a loss on the Kindle Fire tablets because they were relying on customers investing into their services to make money. And it's been an extremely successful business model for them. This time around, they're going for something different. I kind of feel like if Amazon left the dynamic perspective out of it, brought down the cost of a few things, they could get it down to $300. It would become a very, very good quality mid-range phone that a lot of people would like. That's probably the biggest problem I have with the phone, is the price point. Now, you do have to keep in mind that I'm definitely not part of the Amazon ecosystem. I don't really use Amazon very often.
Yeah.
And that's mostly because the Amazon experience in Ireland is like years behind the Amazon experience in the US.
Yeah.
Like, they've got next day delivery on like everything with Amazon Prime. Free next day shipping.
But for us, it's kind of like,
for us, you would never get next day shipping. Unless it's delivery, right?
Yeah.
But everything that we buy on Amazon has to be shipped because it's just not available in Ireland. Mm-hmm. Ireland is a small country. It has to has to be brought from the UK or elsewhere in Europe. If we go outside Europe, the duty costs are so massive that you can't. It just does not make any sense whatsoever to buy something outside of Europe.
Just to give you an example, like we're getting robot parts.
Yeah.
And it cost maybe €150. And we were faced with duty cost of about €80.
That's correct.
€80.
Extra.
And that's duty, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
On top of that. So that brought it up to 200 and a bit instead mm-hmm. of €150. It looks like a good price. But if you get something from outside Europe, you have to pay so much duty. In fact, it's so much that we tend to like go to the shop. If it's not in the shop, like then if there's no other way of getting it here in Ireland or shipping over from England,
in Europe,
or Europe, like there's no point in getting it because the duty is just like you can get a pair of sunglasses for €10 from America or something, mm-hmm. let's say, and you can be faced with €10 duty, which is double the price, or mm-hmm. you know, even more than that. Yeah. It depends, but
That's the problem here is, you know, the shipping service, it's not good enough to get next day most stuff. Amazon Prime is well worth the money if you're living in the US. Over here, mm-hmm. I don't think it's worth it.
I think because the real
they do have Amazon Video on Amazon Online Video or whatever with Prime as well. They have certain stuff for free. The library's not great here. You know, it's kind of like when
Netflix came over.
Even
still, Netflix is great and all, but at the same time,
it doesn't have everything. Yeah. In fact, it doesn't have anything that I watch.
If you want to look up a movie or something, I mean, like
very,
a good movie,
very few seasons, series. Yeah. I mean, Breaking Bad, House of Cards, and Chuck. There are the three, and Monk.
Monk, yeah.
Monk, which is actually available on the US version, which I kind of got because I used a VPN, but don't tell anybody. to do that. There are the four things I basically watched. And, you know, I watch a few movies as well. They do have some good new releases, but it's quite poor.
Yeah.
They don't have any CBS shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because CBS are a very powerful company.
I think the future is quadcopters.
Yeah, you'll be watching your TV from a quadcopter.
I don't know.
That's another Amazon thing. Amazon are coming up with all these wacky ideas these days.
Yeah,
but
they have a new product where you can like scan. It's like Firefly. What's the name of it? What? Is it called the Firefly?
It's called Firefly.
Is it like it's a separate device? Is it?
Oh no, for the shipping or for food.
Yeah, and shopping. And
Yeah. What's that
called? Not just for food. You can get anything, pretty much.
Yeah.
But you have to get it off Amazon, of course.
Yeah, it's a little separate device. What's it called?
I was thinking, why are they coming out with Firefly, especially on this phone, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But like...
It's called...
Yeah, but end...
Amazon Dash?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. I thought that was an April Fool's joke.
Because it came out around April Fool's
just
Day.
After it, yeah. It's weird.
But, so they have that as well. But...
That didn't make sense to me, because why would you use a separate device when you could just use your phone to do the same thing?
Yeah. But I guess what they're trying to do...
Introducing Amazon Dash...
I guess what they're trying to do is sell devices. That's why they haven't made an app out of it yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just looking at this thing. You could press a button and you can say what you need. It's got voice recognition. As well as a little red laser beam that scans in barcodes, which you could do on a phone. You could also do voice recognition on a phone.
Yeah. No, they're just trying to make a bit more money than an app.
I don't know.
Because if they had an app, it would be free.
Well, you know, Amazon, they're doing interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And everybody in the US is extremely excited about this phone because we just haven't experienced the true Amazon experience over here because, you know, we're kind of in the middle of nowhere.
But, so, then again.
That's all right.
I wouldn't get this phone because.
Neither would I.
You can get a OnePlus One.
Yeah.
For $300,
which
if you
isn't
to.
Available yet, but if you wait a little while, it should be available.
Like a few people have been saying about it, the OnePlus One, that there's a few bugs in it and stuff. But apparently, it's it's not the bugs that have been mentioned aren't that bad.
Yeah.
So,
plus, I mean, for the price,
yeah,
I would have no problem with those bugs.
So, I don't think it's a contender at the moment in Ireland, but maybe over in America. Might be a cool product.
But you have to remember also, you get a free year of Amazon Prime with this. But really, to make this phone, to get the best experience with this phone, you have to have Amazon Prime and you have to have the best Amazon service available to you. You have to be in on the Amazon ecosphere or the ecosystem already, in order to make the most out of it. You have to have the Amazon Prime subscription to get the best out of it because you get your music, you get your movies, Whereas we don't have that. So for us, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. I have not come across one person yet who said they're going to buy it, but I'm sure that people who use Amazon on a regular basis would be at least interested in it.
And the funny thing is as well, over in America, you hear like a lot of people on different podcasts and stuff and they're like, I don't know anyone who doesn't have Amazon Prime,
Yeah,
over here.
It's true. No one has Amazon Prime.
I don't know anyone who has Amazon Prime. But
All right, let's talk about YouTube. YouTube has confirmed that they plan to launch a paid music streaming service. I believe we talked about this before on the show, maybe once or twice when it was a rumor, was not confirmed by YouTube. But yes, YouTube have confirmed this. I think I remember saying on the show before that Amazon or that YouTube won't do this. YouTube confirmed to the Financial Times that it will be launching this summer. It will be launching a new paid music streaming service to compete with services such as Spotify and the likes.
There have actually been a lot of these, like Beats.
I mean,
Beats Audio.
Yeah, Apple want in now. Google are in
with Google Music
Google Play Music, right? So now over through another sub-branch of Google, through YouTube, they want to launch their own paid music streaming
service. So they're kind of competing with each other. Kind of.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so
I didn't think of it like that, actually.
And you have to remember, YouTube is super popular for music distribution, music promotion, and music consumption.
Yeah.
Like, that is the way I listen to a new song.
Like,
if I discover a new artist, the first thing I do is I go up on YouTube, I look for their music videos, I look for, whatever videos they have published, whatever music they have published
Vivo
on YouTube.
As well.
Vivo is extremely popular, extremely popular. And that is, YouTube is extremely popular for that.
Like in iTunes, it's like, we have $1. We have $1 a song. So what you can do is you can go on to iTunes. Or 99 cents, sorry. And you can get a song for 99 cents and try it out.
Yep.
Well, with YouTube, you can listen to as many songs as you want.
For free.
For free.
They already do this. There's many apps that you can get on the App Store that basically allow you to cache these and listen to them back afterwards and also have a search feature. The one that I have is there's like MusicTube, iTube, yeah, all these different tubes. But actually the best one to look out for is PocketTube, because it acts just like the music app. Right? It looks just like the music app, and you can save songs, but you can also get songs. It'll tell you the top weeks, the week's top charts in Ireland, for example, and you can get you can also do a search for a song, and it comes up and it looks basically like the music app, and it's all based on the YouTube APIs based on music that's available on YouTube. So I suppose YouTube are just doing an official version of this. There will be no free version. It'll be paid only, paid plans only. Mm-hmm. What does this mean for all of the free music on YouTube? What this means, YouTube have confirmed that they said that free YouTube music videos will still be available, but a subscription will allow you to listen to songs without ads, including whole albums, not just single songs and all this as well. With their streaming service, also will be available, you know, stuff like offline playback. But we all know in reality, YouTube controls all content on its platform.
Mm-hmm.
And YouTube write the rules for this stuff. You have a huge opinion on this, Kevin, because you are a huge YouTube content user.
Oh, yeah.
you watch a lot of YouTube on a daily basis. So you know, you've got opinions.
Yeah, so there's a few things about YouTube, right, that have come up recently. And one of those things is the comment section. So basically what has happened recently is they completely overhauled YouTube and they changed the comment system so that you can put in as much text as you want. You can put in links to external links that look like it's a link, but it's actually another link, things like that, you know. So there's
always very handy.
A lot of stuff and a lot of the stuff hasn't been fixed.
Mm.
So there's been a lot of controversy with YouTube recently, and a lot of YouTubers controversy though.
Which, by the way, to all Americans listening to this show, people from the UK do not say that. People from Ireland do not say that.
I've never heard of anyone who
never
said
heard
controversy.
Any single person who has ever said controversy, just for the record.
It doesn't make any sense why Americans think that people from two tiny islands think say that. I don't understand.
We don't say controversy over here. No.
But
go ahead.
Anyway, so a lot of people who make their living on YouTube, YouTubers, if you want to call them that,
YouTubers,
they have been, you know, they've been given out because a lot of the decisions that YouTube have been making recently are just like, you know, is like, come on, why would you do that? Yeah. So, one of these people actually is NerdCubed. He is very concerned, as he's made clear in a lot of his videos. But what he's actually done is he's gone out and made his own website. So if YouTube ever goes down or makes a really bad decision, you can just go onto his website and all his videos will still be there.
Ah,
he's like, he's trying, or basically, I'm just giving him
example. That's a great idea.
Yeah, but I'm giving him as an example because he's really gone overboard. But he's completely disabled the comments because a lot of stuff has been going on in the comments.
Right.
He
could probably set up his own comment system anyway if people do want to leave comments.
On his own website.
Yeah, you know, so, where he can have control.
Yeah, so YouTube, if you like it or not, are in control of YouTube, not the people, not YouTubers.
Yep.
YouTube,
you know, and this
don't
is
Google.
This is exactly the opinion that I've always had about YouTube. That's why I'd never put a video exclusively on YouTube. Mm-hmm. All of my YouTube videos are also available on my website.
Yeah.
I refer everybody to my website rather than my YouTube channel. The way I use my YouTube channel is a way of promotion for people who discover my content through YouTube. It's not as my main way of putting out content.
Yeah. It's actually surprising how many people have just a YouTube account and not a website. But anyway, let's just get on to the discussion about what they're about to do. So, as well, another controversial topic about net neutrality has come about. And when I first heard that YouTube were going to be doing this, I was like, this might stir a little bit of trouble. However, I think that it's good that they're not completely getting rid of free music on YouTube.
Now, let me just add something about this. YouTube control advertisements on those videos.
Yep.
I reckon that YouTube could simply stop the cash flowing into the creator of that music's bank account by basically turning the money that they make from ads on their music videos to nothing.
Yeah, they can do that.
They could do that if they wanted to.
It's not against the law or
anything. It's not against their terms of service. For them to do that, they have the right to set the price in which ads can be, you know, sold, and they could set it to half nothing. They could set it to a cent per ad, which basically would suck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's basically what YouTube are going to do for all of those free music, and they're basically going to say, you want ad free, you get a paid service. Mm-hmm. And you know how well anything paid that YouTube has done before has gone. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very successful, such as YouTube paid channels.
Oh, yeah.
Have we heard much about that ever since it launched?
It launched and then it's kind of like, wait,
because
what
was
that?
YouTube, okay. YouTube basically, they branded themselves as the free place to go for videos and content. They are the second biggest search engine in the world.
After Google.
After Google.
Who own YouTube.
Who own YouTube. And they, YouTube only do videos. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's basically the way they branded themselves. Everybody acknowledged the fact that, okay, YouTube is providing this for free. They have to put ads on their site to make money. Mm-hmm. However, then YouTube turns around and says, yes, we're going to start providing paid services on YouTube. And everyone goes, what? But yeah. YouTube is free. Why would we pay for anything on YouTube? That's basically what happened.
Like, there have been a lot of ads on YouTube recently. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I mean, that's okay.
Yeah. But,
because I understand how content creators need to be able to make money. And I will actually, sorry to interrupt you, Kevin, but I will actually watch a full ad, even if I'm not interested in the ad, if I really like the content creator.
Yeah.
Like a load of people in my subscriptions for YouTube, like I don't have very many subscriptions, but people who I do have in my subscriptions, I really love the content they're making. I'll watch a full ad.
Yeah.
Because I know they're making money out of that. They're getting a bit of money. And although I can't give them money, this is the way that I can give them money, by watching an ad. That's what I do. Because I know I'm a content creator myself. I know how much effort goes into making this content, how much time, and if they're not getting any money in return, that is completely outrageous and ridiculous. That cannot be done. And majority of people just expect content to be given to them for free. That's not how it works. So that's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
go YouTubers.
I honestly don't see how this is going to go down well with people in YouTube, because there is a certain thing that you can get online called ad blocker, I believe. And do you know what that does, Michael? Gives you free, ad-free music. No ads at all. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
So,
well, I'm just checking my FIFA app here. 1-1. Germany versus Ghana. Ghana scored.
What?
Go on, the Ghana.
Anyway.
55 minutes in. Sorry.
But like, I mean.
This app is great. Get it now.
But I mean, like, it's not something that YouTube was founded on. YouTube started out with everything being free. No ads. Well, maybe like an ad here, an ad there. But like, YouTube was the main goal of it, was to give free content. Anyone in the world can make a free channel and put free content onto that free channel that you can apply for.
Get for free.
Yeah, and anyone can get it. And then they brought in ads, because obviously they need to make a bit of income. So they brought in, you know, banner ads and things like that. And then they brought in ads that come before video that you can skip. And then they brought in ads that you can't skip. And now they've started bringing in paid things. Now, for the consumer, it's still free, apart from they have to watch a few ads and things. But it's still free. And the thing about the internet is free. And a lot of the stuff about it is free. And consumers want things that are free. You know what I mean? Yeah. They don't want to pay. People don't want to pay for things. And when, especially with YouTube coming out with something that is paid, when what they given is all free before, I don't think this is going to go down well, especially while they're contending with themselves with Google Play Music. It doesn't make any sense to bring out YouTube Music if they already have like Google Play Music, because they're the same thing. Google and YouTube are the same thing. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all. I don't understand why they're doing this. I definitely do not think it's going to be as big as Spotify or any of the other music streaming services.
Yep.
But I honestly do not see this going down well with people on the internet.
As they say. Next week, we're going to be covering Google I.O. coming up June 25th and 26th. Some interesting stuff, including Android Wear, which was kind of, they announced it before Google I.O., but they're going to be talking and giving more information about that during Google I.O. So it's going to be very interesting stuff, especially for smartwatches, because they're coming out with a special version of Android dedicated to running on smartwatches. So it's going to be interesting stuff, all that and more coming up on next week's show. Just a little teaser. Thank you very much for tuning in to this episode of Talks About Tech Weekly. Kevin, thank you very much for joining me, as always. It's been great to talk to you about technology and AirCom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at MacandrewKev on Twitter.
That's it.
Yeah.
I launched a new website, carbdigital.com. If you're looking for web design, I don't want to make this sound like an ad, but it is really. If you're looking for web design services or web hosting, head on over to carbdigital.com. It's got all the information you need there. It's me. I'm going to be doing the web design. Hosting is coming soon. I'm working on that, so stay tuned for that. Email me, michael@talksabouttech.com, if you want to know any more information. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much for listening.